I'm Harry, digital marketer by day, crypto enthusiast by night.
And I'm Mel, a new kid on the blockchain.
Join our convos breaking down the basics of digital assets so that you can understand the world of cryptocurrency.
Strap in for a wild ride into the cryptoverse. If there's one thing Pinoys are crazy about, it's Axie Infinity, a play-to-win Ethereum-hosted game created by Vietnamese startup Sky Mavis that's oftentimes the gateway drug of most Filipinos into the world of cryptocurrency. According to Google, Axie Infinity is the most searched game this year in the Philippines. It's easily played on any device or PC, which means anyone with an internet connection or smartphone can compete. And thanks to the game's play-to-earn aspect, many Pinoys have been able to pay for their food, their medicines, their bills, and even their debts, despite the pandemic putting them out of work because of Axie Infinity. How does cryptocurrency work in Axie Infinity? Firstly, Axie Infinity is a game built on a blockchain. That means that all the code and software that makes up the game doesn't live on one company's servers, but on the computers of everyone on the blockchain. Secondly, scholars get paid in cryptocurrency called SLPs, which is short for Smooth Love Potion. Yes, you heard that right. Smooth Love Potion. But more on that later. For this Cryptoverse episode, we enlisted the help of When in Manila founder, crypto enthusiast, businessman, and Axie Infinity advocate Vince Golanco, commercial director, crypto geek, and Axie manager, and Quantum Creative's podcaster, Gio Puyat, and founder and managing editor of BitPinas.com, Michael Mislos, to help us understand this too-good-to-be-true play-to-earn game. Let's start with BitPinas' Michael. What exactly is Axie Infinity?
It all started with an article from CoinDesk by Leah Callum Butler wrote about what's happening in Cabanatuan, where there are people playing the game, and when they win a match or battle, they earn the crypto called SLP. At the time, it was just worth a few centavos, but most of them are without jobs or options, so they are playing this. They are earning SLP and doing this complicated process of cashing out from the game, where they transfer the SLP to MetaMask, which is an Ethereum wallet, and then convert it to Ether. Then they transfer that Ether to coins.ph, where they swap it to pesos before cashing out completely. It was, you know, complicated, but even so, it is bringing food for the table and payment for their bills when people don't really have any other options during the pandemic. I've been covering Axie in my crypto news publication called BitPinas.com since 2018, and I wrote a follow-up to Leah's CoinDesk article where I reported that people playing Axie were actually earning more than the minimum wage earner in the Philippines. So they earn money from the time they spend playing Axie. Instead of playing other games where they earn nothing, they turn to Axie instead. It really became popular after people figured out that they can technically lend their Axies to other people, which are now called scholars, and the lender called a manager. So the scholar plays the game and then earns SLP, which will be divided between the scholar and the manager depending on their percentage share. The next surge of Axie popularity is when its developer Sky Mavis introduced Ronin, which is an Ethereum sidechain. So basically, all Axie activities will now happen on this sidechain. So before that, anything you do in Axie will cost you some gas fees. And it costs a lot, and now there's none. So more people have started scholarships. Yield Guild Games, for example, is one of the, or if not the first guild that figured out that they can scale, or they can do Axie scholarships at scale so that more people are able to benefit from the opportunities that, you know, Axie brings. And finally, in May 2021, a documentary was produced by YGG narrating the very story of the first groups of people who started Axie Infinity scholarships in Cabanatuan.
When in Manila's Vince Golanco expounds.
Well, Axie Infinity is a game that you have these three axes. They look like Pokemon. It's pretty much a game where you battle. But the thing is, it costs money to buy these axes. You can't have a free or a testing axie. Right off the bat, you have to pay. One axie, a really crappy axie, depends on how the market is. But on normal times, a bad axie is about $100. I say bad because you won't win that many games. Because the more you win, the more you'll earn. And I'll explain that in a second. So you need three axes. So let's just say you go in the bare minimum and you buy three $100 axes. In pesos, that's already 15,000 roughly, just to start playing.
Wow. It's not cheap.
Not at all. Not at all. Especially if you're just testing a game. I mean, you know, just to test out the game that you might not like. Or what some people are doing, they're treating it as an investment. And the problem, like I said, if you're paying that low, 15,000, you won't win that much. You won't earn that much. So it's not that great of an investment if you just do that. So usually you'll have to buy a somewhat of a decent axie, which is roughly, very roughly, depends, but roughly $300. So about 15,000 for one axie. So, and you, again, you need three to start off. So it comes out to around 45,000 roughly for a team, roughly.
Podcaster Gio Puyat talks about why this game is so damn popular.
I think it was really a mix of circumstances, no, where the pandemic played a huge role. It was timing then, now where crypto was kind of, you know, getting more profitable in 2021. I mean, this is the year that crypto went mainstream, right? So, a lot of things happened where a lot of people were out of jobs during the pandemic and they were looking for alternative sources of income. And alam mo naman yung mga Pilipino, diba, parang may inclination for internet use and for gaming. And I think those things just kind of came together where there was a need to look for a way to make a living. And then suddenly there was this new thing with magic internet money and gaming. And I think people just took a chance on it. And the successes of other people trickled down to all these other Pinoys who wanted to learn how to play the game and make a profit out of it. But I don't know, I think maparaan talaga yung Pinoy, no? We really know how to hustle. And sometimes, well, I've even met some people who are really big in Axie, but they don't necessarily have a deep understanding of blockchain or crypto, but they have a good sense, a good business sense, no, of scaling and investing and growing a business. I even know of someone who partnered with a guy that used to own an internet shop. As in, yung mga kliyente niya, yung mga batang pinapauwi ng mga nanay nila kasi parang lakas mag-Dota, ganyan, nagda-Dota everyday, ganun. And then they kind of use that as a resource to find scholars, as a network to find scholars. And what they got were these really talented young kids who had an inclination for strategy and gaming. And it was able to give them, you know, a source of income and a legitimate way to make a living by doing something that they love. That is, you know, the good side of what we've seen Axie do for a lot of Pinoys. And that's why I think it's become so popular. I've even had friends who were managers and they would share with me screenshots of their scholars really thanking them for the chance that they had to play a game and make some real life gains out of that cryptocurrency, where they were able to fix their house or get groceries for the month, or I think I even saw some guy was able to buy a car or something, or buy a house down the line. Medyo extreme examples to, pero you know, the bottom line is this is an application of crypto where it's been able to help people in third world countries achieve, you know, closer steps to financial freedom in unconventional ways.
So like Pokemon, each Axie Infinity player or scholar uses a team of three Axies, where they can either go through an adventure mode or battle other Axie teams in a PvP, or aka player versus player arena. The more a person plays, the more smooth love potions or SLPs they can earn. It is this SLP that can be converted into Ethereum and then sold for profit.
The SLP token is a cryptocurrency that you get as a reward every time you win in the game. So the game is a player versus player setup, and then you're randomly assigned to a different competitor every match. And whenever you win that match, you gain an SLP token. And this is a token that you can trade on exchanges. It has real-world monetary value. But that monetary value fluctuates very wildly. It's very volatile. Just to give you an idea, when I started maybe 3-4 months ago, SLP was pretty high. It was around like 15 pesos per SLP. And back then, the minimum SLP you could get in a day was around like 150. So it was pretty substantial then, no, as supplementary income. And that's when a lot of my friends started getting into it because it was really helpful, especially during the pandemic. But right now, SLP is almost at its all-time low, just around under 2 pesos. And it was greatly affected by the flash crash we saw in December for the whole crypto space.
When you win, you get these SLP, is what it's called, which stands for Smooth Love Potions.
Is that for real?
Yes, it's for real. Yes, that's a real thing. No, it's because it's used for breeding. So your Axies, you can have them breed. And when they breed, they have baby Axies. So that's why it costs money. It's because the baby Axies you can sell for, as much as I said, $100 for a crappy one. And the really good ones, the really good Axies go for $1,000, $2,000 and up. Dollars. And not to mention the old collectible Axies. There are some Axies that had special editions, whatever, whatever. Some of those go for tens of thousands of dollars. Now, these SLPs, because there are breeders out there who don't have time to play the game and get all these SLPs. So instead, they just buy it. So that's why the SLP itself has a certain cost to it, because it could be worth an Axie when you breed. So that's where the earning comes in, where you can actually sell these SLPs for crypto or for cash.
I always thought that Axie was like some free game because it's so popular. It's not exactly cheap. It's not like 10 pesos per game.
For it to be this popular, it usually is free. But what happened was there's a lot of breeders out there, especially those who got Axies when they were cheap and already had a lot of SLP. So they just keep breeding. And what they do is they have all these Axies that they lend out to people to borrow, sort of. And that's where the whole thing, it's called a manager and a scholar or a scholarship. It's almost like where, let's say I cannot afford to buy my own Axies. So I'll look for someone offering a scholarship. And what happens is you let me borrow your Axies. In exchange, you earn a percentage of what I get. So usually the splits are, the most common, I think, is 60-40. Where the scholar, who's the one playing and borrowing, they earn 60% of what they get. So if SLP, if I get 100, if I win 100 SLP a day or whatever, I get 60 of those. Or it's usually converted already. I mean, you can convert it if you want to convert it to Ethereum or sell. But usually it's just a straight up SLP. You'll get 60% of that. And then the scholar can do what they want with that. They can sell it. They can keep it, wait for the prices to go up or whatnot. So that's why it got really popular, because everyone was asking for a scholarship. And there were quite a few scholarships, I mean, a lot of scholarships available, because as an investor, you were making your money back in 3-4 months.
Player burnout in Axie is real. And when this happens, scholars pivot to being managers.
They have these seasons in the, almost like a sports season, an NBA season or a football season, whatever. So, but the seasons are much shorter. They're about 2 months long each. So one of the seasons that I joined, I actually played to compete. I fell into the top 100 players globally. And you get a reward. You earn money from placing. I was just so, well, both proud of myself and just happy and like, oh my God, I made it to the top 100. That was so cool. And it was my goal to always be in the top 100. But then the following season, like as I mentioned earlier, they nerf and they boost different Axies. So my Axies got a bit weaker. At the same time, some other Axies got really strong. And what happens is when an Axie gets really strong in the beginning, they cost a lot because there weren't a lot of them made yet. So it's called the meta, which is like just the strongest sort of build. So the meta keeps changing every season because they nerf and they boost different Axies. And now it's too expensive, both time and money, to keep staying on top of the meta. Because when the meta is new, again, it costs a lot of money. It costs anywhere $1,000 to $2,000 for that new Axie because it hasn't been bred yet. Not a lot of people are selling it yet. So they're going to be a bit rare and they're really strong. So in the beginning, it's going to be really expensive. But either way, it's going to take time for the price to even out. One. Two, even though you buy the best Axie ever, which there isn't really just like one Axie that'll make sure you win. But even though you say, you know, there's certain Axies that are a bit stronger per se to really catch the play style and the nuances as far as competitive gaming, at least for me. So I got burnt out to where I was spending too much time and money in trying to stay within the top 100.
For my friends who have been playing longer than me, they do... Nakakasawa din daw talaga. It just becomes a part of their day where they try to grind early on in the morning, or they just have a schedule for it to get it over with to hit their quota of SLP a day. I think at that point, when you're kind of months in, it stops being something you do for purely entertainment. I know for even some players, it could really affect their mental health throughout the day. Let's say if they're on a losing streak and they just can't seem to win that day, it somehow gets equated to you not being capable enough of earning enough that day. Because one of the recent updates Sky Mavis did with Axie is if you aren't performing well enough, if you aren't winning a lot of games, your rating could dip below a certain number, and after that number, you don't earn any SLP anymore. So it kind of loses the whole play-to-earn aspect if you're not a good enough player. I think that's kind of what causes burnout too. There's also a pressure to be good at the game. I think what it really boils down to is transitioning from scholar to manager is really whether or not you are time rich or capital rich, right? So if sometimes if you don't have the money to buy an Axie team, but you do have the time to play the game, then you're better suited to be a scholar. So you would look for a manager, someone who could lend you their axes, and then you could have an agreement where there's a certain percentage split on SLP that you earn per day. But I guess the usual success story is someone starts off as a scholar, and then they gain enough capital from playing the game to eventually buy their own team, and then they become the managers.
Perhaps the most appealing aspect of Axie Infinity is that you are guaranteed to earn. There is a reason why the Philippines takes up the largest percentage of the overall player base. You earn money by completing tasks, and when you lose in the game, you just lose the capacity to earn more, and vice versa. So there's actually no money lost. So yes, the payoffs have been huge.
SLPs at roughly, on a normal basis, it's a bit low right now, it's at 2, but let's just count it at the normal, it's at 3 pesos. My scholars are averaging, let's say 100, well, their requirement is 150 SLP a day. So 150 SLP times 30 days, that's equal to 4,500, roughly a month. Some days they earn more, some days they earn less, whatever, but 4,500 SLP. Multiply that by 3 pesos, that's 13,500 pesos a month for playing 1 to 2 hours a day. In the Philippines, there aren't a lot of part-time jobs, if any. So imagine after work, if you really need money, or you're even as your full-time job, imagine the provinces. This is a full-time job in the province. This is you know, good money to survive on. So that's at 3 pesos, which is sort of the norm. But sometimes it goes like... like last month, there was a spike. So if you were able to sell your SLP at 6 pesos, I was able to sell some. So that pretty much doubles the money. So at 13,500, that comes out to 27,000. And like I said, there was a spike, which this is the hype. So imagine 4,500 SLP per day, again, times 20 pesos, which was the absolute height of the SLP. That's 90,000 pesos. So what some people are also doing, if it's low right now, if the SLP is low, and it's just like crypto because of the supply and demand, so not a lot of people making Axies right now, sometimes you can just hold on to your SLP and wait for it to go up a bit and then sell it.
I think it really depends. That question is always the first thing people ask when they learn about this new play-to-earn thing, right? But like a lot of new technology, fortune really kind of favors those early adopters and the people who took a risk early on, the people who kind of jumped into this thing and put in a lot of capital early on when there wasn't much buzz, there wasn't much hype about it. And nagkataon na the people who did that were rewarded handsomely with huge profits as of now. Because Axie has been around for, I think, almost a year already, over a year. And people who invested in that early and built their teams and bought their Axies early on have been able to build huge businesses, almost empires, on this whole play-to-earn blockchain gaming thing. So, yeah, it really depends. But one of the objective measures of how profitable Axie is at this point is the price of the SLP token.
And what about Axies as NFTs? Whereas one Bitcoin is just like every other Bitcoin and are worth exactly the same as one another, Axies are all different from each other. That's why they are called NFTs, which from episode 1 of this podcast stands for non-fungible tokens. Axies are non-fungible because each Axie is unique.
NFT projects succeed based on the number and the strength of its community. But the one thing that Axie has that others probably don't is the user base. It has 3 million users. And this is a collection of players, breeders, traders, speculators. All of them are playing a different role in the Axie ecosystem. The players of Axie are learning about crypto and NFT by playing the game. And because of SLP, they learn about volatility. Because of Axie, they learn the concept of NFTs as opposed to just in-game items or characters in a game like Mobile Legends, for example. So, how will Axie change the NFT ecosystem is in such a way that it will provide the blueprint in how to create and do community building. So, we have to take note, Axie started in 2018 during the bear market. And that's another thing. So, you know, when you build projects during the bear market, when everyone else is a skeptic, in that way, you will have a community with a much more stronger conviction than in projects that started during bull market days.
NFT, I think, are like the artworks and the collectibles, but essentially each character is an NFT in Axie. Think of it as like a Pokemon character, right? It's very unique. It would have its own characteristics or like strengths and weaknesses. The NFTs, like we mentioned in the first episode, is, you know, it's all just puff and, you know, probably worthless because anyone can mint their art. But when it comes to gaming, like with Axie, there is value, like with the older ones, like the Mystic ones. There might be value in certain combinations of characters in teams. Like Vince mentioned, meta. A meta, just for our listeners, is basically just the trend of what's strongest to play, which means you will earn more SLP. And then when you're nerfed, it means the game, the controllers of the game or the creators of the game are trying to balance that out, right? To make sure that everyone has an even playing field and it's a skill-based game, not a pay-to-play game. Because if you're right, Vince, you mentioned you had strong Axies before. Is it too late to enter? You know, it really depends on the game creators, right? Because they will do this balancing, which is through nerfing. Nerfing means making certain characters weaker, and boosting, meaning making certain characters stronger, just so everyone is, you know, playing and winning based on skill, not necessarily because you have more money then you will win. That's, you know, that's something that the creators of Axie need to play out, and that's something that not just Axie, but all games in general or all game creators are struggling with, right? That's the biggest issue. Like with Dota or LOL, it's the same.
So what's the future like for Axie Infinity? For our three guests, the future looks very bright. And maybe in Axie Infinity's sake, maybe too good to be true can be the real thing.
It is certainly nice to see celebrities catching the Axie fever, which would lead to more awareness about the game to more people here in the Philippines. So for example, the Creators Cup early this December, where we see celebrities like Yassie, who has millions of followers and fans. My only hope is for the new players that they bring in to have a more managed expectations about Axie Infinity. So you play this game and you earn money, but it does not mean that it is something that can replace something stable that you have, like your day job. So managing their expectations can be done through continuous iteration about the game and about play to earn in general. So we do that at bitpinas.com and videos on the internet, most especially educational and tutorial content from content creators like Kuku Crypto TV, for example?
A wise mentor of mine told me never pretend to know what's going to happen with the stock market or crypto. So just FYI, never, don't ever listen to anyone, nor should you pretend to know. So it's not me predicting, it's more me hoping. But again, barring a complete collapse of the crypto system, I've never heard of a game completely collapsing, it should be pretty steady to where the SLP rate prices can go down, but you should still be earning something. And even if that gets extended, because right now we're calculating it at your ROI in 3-4 months, let's say that gets extended a bit, even if it's doubled, that's still you'll still ROI in a year, which again, as I said, for a normal business, that's unheard of.
It is too good to be true.
It is. So, and the thing is, it's normal right now. I mean, it's not too good to be true for Axie. The too good to be true is when the SLP went up to 20 pesos. But at 3 pesos, which has been the norm, it's acceptable and understandable. So, plus, I like the game. So, if you're a gamer, it's actually a fun game, especially if you like analyzing, if you like the strategic games. It's a very strategic game to master. As I said, easy to learn, hard to master. So if you also enjoy the gaming part, there's the bonus for you. But for me, yeah, as of now, it feels like a safe-ish bet, and you'll possibly earn your money back soon. And once you do, even if you get sick of playing, you can just find a scholar and it'll be passive income for you.
You're not afraid of any bubble? Is there such a thing or fear as an Axie bubble happening anytime soon?
Well, I think that was it, the 20 peso. It exploded too much. It got way too high. Too many people were trying to join. The cheapest Axie went to $300 for one shitty, crappy Axie that you could barely win with. $300. It was so terrible. And then when that went over, it normalized again. So we're back here.
I think something else I have to address too is the criticism of Axie being a Ponzi scheme. That's kind of what one of the first critiques people throw at it when they first hear about it. And to admit, there is a aspect of it where the long-term sustainability of the game is dependent on new demand for more Axies, for more players to come in and spend on the digital assets, right? And although things like Axies and digital assets do have this aspect of speculative value, it's not unlike a lot of things that we have in society now where we project value on these things like fashion brands or certain products, you know? It still depends on this value created by society and a culture. And who's to say that that's not within reach of a game, of Axies? Even before all these play-to-earn things came into play, people were already spending on digital assets in other games like World of Warcraft or skins in Fortnite. And these are all speculative digital things that just existed within their own games, but it was a multi-billion dollar industry. And the difference is with Axies and NFTs now is you actually can verify ownership of that digital asset. And that's kind of what makes it different in this whole Web3 space. But I think that's a discussion for another time. Yeah, but just going back to the Ponzi critique, right? Unlike a Ponzi scheme, Sky Mavis or everyone else invested in Axie can't just kind of pull the rug on all the investors and the value in this game. It's still a decentralized ecosystem. So that's a counterpoint to that one. But in the end, really, you are at the mercy of whatever Sky Mavis chooses to do with that economy and whether or not they're gonna fumble the ball and send the whole system going down or what. It is still based on trust. But yeah, I think these are really the risks involved when you want to invest in technology, right? In these companies that are dealing with new things that will change society in the future. I mean, just think about the tech companies in the 90s, right? If you had invested in Amazon stock and Google stock and Facebook, Apple, right? Later on in the succeeding decades, they would have invented new things like like the iPhone, like social media that you wouldn't have any idea about back in the 90s, right? And yeah, sure, there were so many other companies that failed, but if you bet on the right horse, you would have scored big. And I guess that's what this time is all about, you know, trying to see what indicators tell you that this may be a good investment for the future. But yeah, in the end, like they say in the crypto space, do your own research, and this is not financial advice.
If you guys have any questions, please hit us up. I will be on, or I am mostly on Twitter, at Mel_Alcaraz, and Instagram with the same handle. And Harry, where can we find you?
Twitter as well, Harry Initiative.
Yep, so let us know, guys, if you have any more crypto concerns, questions, concepts, etc., etc. Thank you for listening, and bye!